May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my Lord and my God. Please be seated. Now we know where those beautiful words come from, as we've just said them in the 19th Psalm. Good morning, my friends, on this chilly day. Thanks for coming out. Well, today's gospel presents us with quite a bit. This is Jesus' first act of public ministry described for us in Luke's gospel this morning. Following his baptism in the River Jordan and his long wilderness experience with fasting and temptation, Jesus returns to his home country, to Galilee, and reports about him have been spreading through the whole population, probably the result of his healing ministries and his synagogue teaching. So when he comes back home, it's quite a big day in the synagogue. Everybody's there, eager to hear the local boy who's been such a name that's been created for him. Jesus enters the synagogue that Saturday morning, and it seems so similar to him as it was when he was a child. But otherwise, nothing familiar with the place had been changed. Joseph and Mary went prepared him well for life, and they had raised him faithfully in their ancestral religion. He regularly attended Sabbath school as a youth and went to youth group, and he was brought to synagogue every week as a baby, as a child, and then later as a teenager. This wasn't always easy, especially when he was a baby. Young parents can relate to this. And so Joseph and Mary must be the patron saints for all the parents who now, in a more healthy time, can bring their children to get out to church and to come to church school, who see their sons and daughters and make sure that they belong to a youth group in their upbringing. And this is by any means easy. But these parents know that the child who participates regularly in the community of God's people is likely to have a strong faith and a firm foundation moving into adulthood that will help us during every crisis of our life. So Jesus returns to Nazareth synagogue, and he's thankful for the upbringing that he's received there. He's asked to read the lessons from the prophets, and there's no lectionary to consult like we have in our day. There's no determined reading, and the choice is really up to him. Nor there is a book to flip through. He's got a big scroll that's been presented to him on the lectern. It's been placed there for him to access. So he is unrolling the scripts, and he's looking for a familiar text. He enrolls it near the end of the scroll, and in a voice strong with anticipation, he reads aloud these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the favor of the Lord's year." So finished with this brief passage, he rolls up the scroll and returns it to the attendant, and he goes and takes a seat in the synagogue. It is the custom for teachers to sit rather than to stand. So when Jesus sits, everyone is looking at him, expecting some commentary or some explication of the text, a text that's really quite well known to many of them. There is no professional clergy there. The synagogue president can invite any appropriate person to come up and make commentary on the text. And often, these remarks are less than inspiring, really. While the people have a lot of biblical literacy, their commentary on scripture by such speakers is really often no more than a recitation of the lessons that all of them learned at an early age. So the congregation usually knows what's going to be said. And so their question is, will it be said correctly or will it not be said correctly? Not so today when Jesus sits down. The people are all looking at him, and he looks around at them. Familiar faces from his early years, older in appearance than before, his childhood friends, and they're now present with their children. The parents of his friends and those people are now senior citizens. He begins with a zinger, and something much more than a zinger. A sentence that remains so fresh and provocative that it even is fresh and provocative down to our time. Jesus sets free the scripture passage that he's just read, and he lets the lion out of its cage. The ho-hum expectations of people around him. And here's what he says. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus does the unexpected, the unimaginable, on that memorable Sabbath morning in Nazareth. In today's jargon, he claims those ancient prophetic words as his own personal mission statement. The reason that God's Spirit came crashing down on him at his baptism was to empower him to do precisely this, to bring the good news to the poor, to release the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let all the oppressed go free, and to announce the sweet jubilee year when God's justice will reshape society. Jesus takes this all on as his mission statement, and he is not content to leave it as only a string of high-sounding words. Everything that follows in his life, as presented to us in the gospel this morning, amounts to the living out of this prophecy, which he claims for himself that Sabbath morning in Nazareth. He keeps doing these things every chance he gets, every time he turns around, until finally it kills him. Some people welcome what Jesus does, but others do not, because it upsets their unfair advantage. It questions their complacency, and it pushes them to recognize their habitual infidelity to God. They find that their discomfort increasingly becomes intolerable, and they think that his judicial murder will bring an end to that matter altogether. Well, the good news is we know that they're wrong, of course. Jesus rises alive from the dead and continues today to do what he talked about that Sabbath morning so long ago. Now, the way he works is through the mystical body, his mystical body, the church. Through each one of us who are baptized into his body, Jesus strives still to live out his mission statement, bringing good news to those who don't have any, setting free those chained in captivity, and opening blind eyes, helping the oppressed and exploited find a life, and unrolling the floor plan that sets out God's reign where justice and peace will prevail. Jesus still does these things because the church does these things. The poor gain hope, whether their souls or their bodies are starved. The captives experience freedom, whether they're prisoners in a jail or whether they're prisoners in a mansion. The blind receive sight, whether it's cataract surgery at the church hospital or scales of prejudice falling from the eyes of a bigot. The oppressed are set free, whether oppression is a political regime or if it's chemical dependence. When Jesus reads that passage in the Nazareth synagogue, he announces a mission statement for himself and for his body, the church. Today's first reading of Corinthians is another important passage about how the body of Christ, how we are to live out the mission statement of Jesus. And as we strive to be faithful to those words Jesus reads aloud and lives out, we can pay attention to three points that St. Paul insists on in that passage. So I ask you, dear family, how do members of Christ Church, how do you hear these? Number one, all members of the church have gifts for ministry. Number two, members of the church have different gifts for ministry. We're not clones of each other, nor would we want to be. And number three, the different gifts come to life in the context of the whole. Jesus read the old words from Isaiah and claimed them as his own. And we can do the same. So please repeat after me, sentence by sentence, as I finish up each one of these sentences. I'll go slowly. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed us to bring good news to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed us to bring good news to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to proclaim release to the captives. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to proclaim release to the captives. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to help the blind recover their sight. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to help the blind recover their sight. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to free the oppressed. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to free the oppressed. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in our hearing. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in our hearing. And now to God, whose power working in us can do more than we can ask or imagine, to him, to the church, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, be with us forevermore, empowering us to do the mission that he has set forth in our lives. Amen.